You did not love your first husband, did you? Mary shook her head. It makes all the difference, sweet one. That and a husband's regard for his wife. But I have seen the Viscount in your company. I realize that your match was sudden and unexpected, but he treats you with care and respect. You will have nothing to fear, I'm sure of it. The Viscount will treat you well. And with that, Mary kissed Kate upon the forehead and bade her good night, picking up both empty milk mugs as she left the room. Kate sat on her bed, staring sightlessly at the wall for several minutes. Mary was wrong. Kate was sure of it. She had much to fear. She hated that she was not Antony's first choice for a wife, but she was practical, and she was pragmatic, and she knew that certain things in life simply had to be accepted as fact. But she'd been consoling herself with the memory of the desire she had felt, and she thought Antony had felt, when she was in his arms. Now it seemed that this desire wasn't even necessarily for her, but rather some primitive urge that every man felt for every woman. And Kate would never know if, when Antony snuffed the candles and took her to bed, he closed his eyes and pictured another woman's face. The wedding, which was held in the drawing room of Bridgerton House, was a small private affair. Well, as small as one could expect, with the entire Bridgerton family in attendance, from Antony all the way down to little 11-year-old Hyacinth, who'd taken her role as flower girl very seriously. When her brother Gregory, aged 13, had tried to tip her basket of rose petals, she'd walloped him in the chin, delaying the ceremony by a good 10 minutes, but interjecting a much-needed note of levity and laughter. Well, for everyone except Gregory, who'd been quite put out by the entire episode, and certainly wasn't laughing, even though he was, as Hyacinth was quick to point out to anyone who would listen, and her voice was loud enough so that one didn't really have the option of not listening, the one who'd started it. Kate had seen it all from her vantage point in the hall, where she'd been peeking through a crack in the door. It had made her smile, which was much appreciated, since her knees had been knocking for over an hour. She could only thank her lucky stars that Lady Bridgerton had not insisted upon a large, grand affair. Kate, who'd never thought of herself as a nervous sort of person before, would probably have passed out from fright. Indeed, Violet had mentioned the possibility of a huge wedding as a method by which to combat the rumours that were circulating about Kate, Antony, and their rather sudden engagement. Mrs. Featherington was, true to her word, remaining mostly silent on the details of the matter, but she'd let enough innuendos slip that everyone knew that the betrothal had not come about in the usual manner. As a result, everyone was talking, and Kate knew it was only a matter of time before Mrs. Featherington could no longer restrain herself, and everyone learned the true story of her downfall at the hands, or rather the stinger, of a bee. But in the end, Violet had decided that a quick marriage was best, and since one couldn't throw together a grand party in 1 week, the guest list had been limited to family. Kate was attended by Edwina, Antony by his brother Benedict, and in due course they were man and wife. It was strange, Kate thought later that afternoon, as she stared at the gold band that had joined the diamond on her left hand, how quickly one's life could change. The ceremony had been brief, rushing by in a crazy blur, and yet her life was forever altered. Edwina had been correct. Everything was different. She was a married woman now, a Viscountess. Lady Bridgerton. She chewed on her lower lip. It sounded like someone else. How long would it take before someone said, Lady Bridgerton, and she actually thought they were talking to her, and not Antony's mother? She was a wife now, with a wife's responsibilities. It terrified her. Now that the wedding was done, Kate reflected upon Mary's words from the previous night, and knew that she was right. In many respects, she was the luckiest woman alive. Antony would treat her well. He would treat any woman well. And that was the problem. and now she was in a carriage, travelling the short distance between Bridgerton House, where the reception had been held, and Antony's private residence, which he supposed could no longer be referred to as bachelor's lodgings. She stole a glance at her new husband. He was facing straight ahead, his face oddly serious.
"Do you plan to move into Bridgerton House now that you are married?"
she inquired quietly. Antony started, almost as if he'd forgotten she was there. "Yes," he replied, turning to face her, "although not for several months. I thought we could do with a bit of privacy at the start of our marriage, don't you think?"
"Of course," Kate murmured.
She looked down at her hands, which were fidgeting in her lap. She tried to still them, but it was impossible. It was a wonder she had not burst out of her gloves. Antony followed the line of her gaze and placed one of his large hands over both of hers. She went still instantly.
"Are you nervous?" he inquired.
"Did you think I wouldn't be?"
she replied, trying to keep her voice dry and ironic. He smiled in response.
"There is nothing to fear."
Kate nearly burst out in jittery laughter. It seemed she was destined to hear that platitude over and over again.
"Perhaps," she allowed, "but still much about which to be nervous."
His smile broadened.
"Touché, my dear wife."
Kate swallowed convulsively. It was strange to be someone's wife, especially strange to be this man's wife.
"And are you nervous?"
she countered. He leaned in toward her, his dark eyes hot and heavy with the promise of things to come.
"Oh, desperately," he murmured.
He closed the rest of the distance between them, his lips finding the sensitive hollow of her ear.
"My heart is pounding," he whispered.
Kate's body seemed to stiffen and melt at the same time, and then she blurted out,
"I think we should wait."
He nibbled on her ear.
"Wait for what?"
She tried to wiggle away. He didn't understand. If he'd understood, he'd be furious. And he didn't seem particularly upset. Yet.
For the marriage, she stammered.
That seemed to amuse him, and he playfully wiggled the rings that now rested on her gloved fingers.
"It's a bit late for that, don't you think?"
"For the wedding night," she clarified.
He drew back, his dark brows flattening into a straight and perhaps a little bit angry line.
"No,"
he said simply, but he did not move to embrace her again. Kate tried to think of words that would make him understand, but it wasn't easy. She wasn't so sure that she understood herself, and she was rather certain that he would not believe her if she told him that she'd not intended to make this request. It had just burst forth from within her, born of a panic she hadn't even known was there until that very moment.
"I'm not asking for forever,"
she said, hating the tremor that shook her words.
"Just a week."
This caught his attention, and one of his brows rose in ironic query.
"And what, pray tell, do you hope to gain by a week?"
"I don't know,"
she answered quite honestly. His eyes focused onto hers, hard, hot, and sardonic.
"You're going to have to do better than that," he said.
Kate didn't want to look at him, didn't want the intimacy he forced upon her when she was caught in his dark gaze. It was easy to hide her feelings when she could keep her focus on his chin or his shoulder, but when she had to look straight into his eyes, she was afraid he could see into her very soul.
"This has been a week of a great many changes in my life,"
she began, wishing she knew where she was going with the statement.
"For me as well,"
he interjected softly.
"Not so much for you," she returned. "The intimacies of marriage are nothing new to you."
One corner of his mouth quirked into a lopsided, slightly arrogant smile.
"I assure you, my lady, that I have never before been married."
"That's not what I meant, and you know it."
He did not contradict her.
"I simply would like a bit of time to prepare,"
she said, primly folding her hands in her lap. But she couldn't keep her thumbs still, and they twiddled anxiously, giving proof to the state of her nerves. Antony stared at her for a long moment, then leaned back, propping his left ankle rather casually on his right knee.
"Very well," he allowed.
"Really?"
She straightened with surprise. She had not expected him to capitulate with such ease.
"Provided,"
he continued. She slumped. She should have known that there would be a contingency.
"That you edify me on one point."
She gulped.
"And what would that be, my lord?"
He leaned forward, the very devil in his eyes.
"How, precisely, do you plan to prepare?"
Kate glanced out the window, then swore under her breath when she realized they weren't even to Antony's street. There would be no escaping his question. She was stuck in the carriage for at least another 5 minutes.
"Well," she stalled, "I'm sure I don't understand what you mean."
He chuckled.
"I'm sure you don't either."
Kate scowled at him. There was nothing worse than being the butt of someone else's joke, and it seemed especially inappropriate when one happened to be a bride on her wedding day.
"Now you're having fun with me,"
she accused.
"No,"
he said, with what could only have been called a leer.
"I'd like to have fun with you. There's quite a difference."
"I wish you wouldn't talk like that," she grumbled. "You know I don't understand."
His eyes focused on her lips as his tongue darted out to wet his own.
"You would," he murmured, "if you'd simply give in to the inevitable and forget your silly request."
"I don't enjoy being condescended to,"
Kate said stiffly. His eyes flashed.
"And I don't like being denied my rights,"
he returned, his voice cold, and his face a harsh rendition of aristocratic power.
"I'm not denying you anything,"
she insisted.
"Oh, really?"
His drawl lacked all humour.
"I'm just asking for a reprieve. A brief, temporary brief,"
she repeated the word, just in case his brain was too dulled by single-minded male pride to have understood her the first time.
"Reprieve? Surely you would not deny me such a simple request?"
"Of the two of us,"
he said, his voice clipped,
"I don't think I'm the one doing the denying."
He was right, drat the man, and she had no idea what else to say. She knew she hadn't a leg to stand on with her spur-of-the-moment request. He had every right to toss her over his shoulder, drag her off to bed, and lock her in the room for a week, if he so desired. She was acting foolishly, a prisoner of her own insecurities. Insecurities she hadn't even known she possessed until she'd met Antony. All her life, she'd been the one who'd received the second glance, the second greeting, the second kiss on the hand. As the elder daughter, it should have been her due to be addressed before her younger sister. But Edwina's beauty was so stunning, the pure and perfect blue of her eyes so startling, that people simply forgot themselves in her presence. Introductions to Kate were usually met with an embarrassed, "Of course," and a polite, murmured greeting, while their eyes slid back to Edwina's pure and shining face. Kate had never minded it much. If Edwina had been spoiled or bad-tempered, it might have been difficult. And in all truth, most of the men she'd met were shallow and silly, and she hadn't much cared if they only took the time to acknowledge her after her sister. Until now. She wanted Antony's eyes to light up when she entered the room. She wanted him to scan a crowd until he saw her face. She didn't need him to love her, or at least that's what she was telling herself. But she desperately wanted to be first in his affections, first in his desires. And she had an awful, terrible feeling that all this meant she was falling in love. Falling in love with one's husband. Who would have thought it could be such a disaster?
"I see you have no response,"
Antony said quietly. The carriage rolled to a halt, thankfully sparing her from having to make a reply. But when a liveried footman rushed forward and attempted to open the door, Antony yanked it back shut, never once taking his eyes off of her face.
"How, my lady?"
he repeated.
"How?"
she echoed. She'd quite forgotten what he was asking.
How?
He said yet again, his voice hard as ice but hot as flame.
Do you plan to prepare for your wedding night?
I had not considered, Kate replied.
I thought not.
He let go of the door handle, and the door swung open, revealing the faces of two footmen, who were obviously trying very hard not to look curious. Kate remained silent, as Antony helped her down and led her into the house. His household staff was assembled in the small entry hall, and Kate murmured her greetings as each member was introduced to her by the butler and housekeeper. The staff wasn't very extensive, as the house was small by Ton's standards, but the introductions took a good 20 minutes. 20 minutes, which, unfortunately, did little to calm her nerves. By the time he placed his hand at the small of her back and guided her toward the stairs, her heart was racing, and for the first time in her life, she thought she might actually pass out. It wasn't that she feared the marriage bed. It wasn't even that she feared not pleasing her husband. Even an innocent virgin such as herself could tell that his actions and reactions when they kissed were proof enough of his desire. He would show her what to do. Of that she had no doubt. What she feared. She caught her throat closing, choking, and she brought her fist to her mouth, biting on the knuckle to steady her stomach, as if that might actually do something to help the awful churning that had her in knots.
My God, Antony whispered as they reached the landing. You're terrified.
No, she lied. He took her by the shoulders and twisted her to face him, staring deeply into her eyes. Cursing under his breath, he grabbed her hand and pulled her into his bedroom, muttering,
We need privacy.
When they reached his chamber, a richly appointed, masculine room, exquisitely decorated in shades of burgundy and gold, he planted his hands on his hips and demanded,
Didn't your mother tell you about...
Kate would have laughed at his flailings if she hadn't been so nervous.
Of course, she said quickly. Mary explained everything.
Then what the hell is the problem?
He cursed again, then apologized.
I beg your pardon, he said stiffly. That certainly is not the way to set you at ease.
I can't say,
she whispered, her eyes sliding to the floor, focusing on the intricate pattern of the carpet, until they swam with tears. A strange, horrible choking noise emerged from Antony's throat.
Kate, he asked hoarsely, has a man ever forced unwelcome attentions on you?
She looked up, and the concern and terror on his face nearly made her heart melt.
No, she cried out, it isn't that. Oh, don't look that way, I can't bear it.
I can't bear it,
Antony whispered, closing the distance between them as he took her hand and raised it to his lips.
You must tell me, he said,
his voice oddly choked.
Do you fear me? Do I repulse you?
Kate shook her head frantically, unable to believe that he could possibly think any woman would find him repulsive.
Tell me,
he whispered, his lips pressing against her ear.
Tell me how to make it right, for I don't think I can grant you your reprieve.
He moulded his body against hers, his strong arms holding her close as he groaned.
I can't wait a week, Kate. I simply cannot do it.
Kate made the mistake of looking up into his eyes, and she forgot everything she'd meant to say. He was staring at her with a burning intensity that forged a fire in the very centre of her being, leaving her breathless, hungry, and desperate for something she did not quite understand. And she knew that she could not make him wait. If she looked into her own soul, and looked with honesty and without delusion, she was forced to admit that she did not wish to wait either. For what could be the point? Maybe he would never love her. Maybe his desire would never be focused as single-mindedly on her as hers was for him. But she could pretend. And when he held her in his arms and pressed his lips to her skin, it was so, so easy to pretend.
"Anthony,"
she whispered, his name a benediction, a plea, a prayer, all in one.
"Anything,"
he replied raggedly, dropping to his knees before her, his lips trailing a hot path along her skin as his fingers frantically worked to release her from her gown.
"Ask me anything,"
he groaned.
"Anything in my power, I give to you."
Kate felt her head fall back, felt the last of her resistance melting away.
"Just love me,"
she whispered.
"Just love me."
His only answer was a low growl of need. Chapter 17.
The deed is done. Miss Sheffield is now Catherine, Viscountess Bridgerton. This author extends the very best of wishes to the happy couple. Sensible and honourable people are surely scarce among the ton, and it's certainly gratifying to see two of this rare breed joined in marriage.
Lady Whistledown's Society Papers, 16th of May, 1814. Until that moment, Anthony had not even realised just how badly he'd needed for her to say yes, to admit to her need. He clutched her to him, his cheek pressing against the gentle curve of her belly. Even in her wedding gown, she smelled of lilies and soap, that maddening scent that had haunted him for weeks.
"I need you,"
he growled, not sure if his words were getting lost in the layers of silk that still kept her from him.
"I need you now."
He rose to his feet and lifted her in his arms, taking remarkably few steps to reach the large four-poster bed that dominated his bedroom. He'd never taken a woman there before, always preferring to conduct his liaisons elsewhere, and suddenly he was absurdly glad of that fact. Kate was different, special, his wife. He wanted no other memories to intrude upon this or any night. He laid her down on the mattress, his eyes never leaving her charmingly dishevelled form, as he methodically stripped off his clothing. First his gloves, one by one, then his coat, already rumpled by his ardour. He caught her eyes, dark and large and filled with wonder, and he smiled, slowly and with satisfaction.
"You've never seen a naked man before, have you?"
he murmured. She shook her head.
"Good."
He leaned forward and plucked one of her slippers from her foot.
"You'll never see another."
He moved to the buttons of his shirt, slowly slipping each from its buttonhole. His desire increased tenfold when he saw her tongue dart out to wet her lips. She wanted him. He knew enough of women to be positive of that. And by the time this night was through, she wouldn't be able to live without him. That he might not be able to live without her was something he refused to consider. What smouldered in the bedroom and what whispered in his heart were two different things. He could keep them separate. He would keep them separate. He might not wish to love his wife, but that did not mean they could not enjoy each other thoroughly in bed. His hand slid to the top button of his trousers and unfastened it, but stopped there. She was still fully clothed, and still fully an innocent. She wasn't yet ready to see the proof of his desire. He climbed onto the bed, and, like a feral cat, crawled toward her, inching closer and closer, until her elbows, which had been propping her up, slid out from under her, and she was flat on her back, staring up at him, her breath coming fast and shallow through her parted lips. There was nothing, he decided, more breathtaking than Kate's face when flushed with desire. Her hair, dark and silky and thick, was already pulling free of the pins and fasteners that had held her elaborate wedding-day coiffure in place. Her lips, always a bit too full for conventional beauty, had taken on a dusky pink colour in the slanted light of the late afternoon. And her skin, never had it seemed so flawless, so luminescent. A pale blush tinted her cheeks, denying her the bloodless complexion that the fashionable ladies always seemed to desire. But Anthony found the colour enchanting. She was real, human, and trembling with desire. He couldn't have wished for more. With a reverent hand, he stroked her cheek with the backs of his fingers, then slid them down her neck to the tender skin that peaked above the edge of her bodice. Her gown was fastened by a maddening row of buttons at the back, but he'd already undone nearly a third of them, and it was now loose enough to slide the silken fabric over her breasts. If anything, they looked even more beautiful than they had 2 days earlier. Her nipples were rosy pink, cresting breasts that he knew fit his hands to perfection. "No chemise," he murmured appreciatively, running his finger along the prominent line of her collarbone. She shook her head, her voice breathy as she answered, "The cut of the gown didn't allow it." One side of his mouth lifted into a very male smile.
"Remind me to send a bonus to your modiste."
His hand moved ever lower, and he cupped one of her breasts, squeezing it softly, feeling a groan of desire rise up within him as he heard a similar moan escape her lips.
"So lovely,"
he murmured, lifting his hand and letting his eyes caress her. It had never occurred to him that there could be such pleasure from the simple act of gazing at a woman. Lovemaking had always been about touch and taste. For the first time, sight was equally seductive. She was so perfect, so utterly beautiful to him, and he felt a rather strange and primitive sense of satisfaction that most men were blind to her beauty. It was as if a certain side of her were visible only to him. He loved that her charms were hidden to the rest of the world. It made her seem more his. Suddenly eager to be touched as he was touching, he lifted one of her hands, still wrapped in a long satin glove, and brought it to his chest. He could feel the heat of her skin even through the fabric, but it wasn't enough.
"I want to feel you," he whispered,
then removed the two rings that rested on her fourth finger. He laid them in the hollow between her breasts, a space made shallow by her supine position. Kate gasped and shivered at the touch of the cold metal against her skin, then watched with breathless fascination as Anthony went to work on her glove, tugging gently at each finger until it was loose, then sliding the length of it down her arm and over her hand. The rush of satin was like an endless kiss, raising goosebumps over her entire body. Then, with a tenderness that nearly brought tears to her eyes, he replaced the rings on her finger, one by one, stopping only to kiss the sensitive palm of her hand in between.
"Give me your other hand,"
he gently ordered. She did, and he repeated the same exquisite torture, tugging and sliding the satin along her skin. But this time, when he was through, he brought her pinky finger to his mouth, then drew it between his lips and sucked, swirling his tongue around the tip. Kate felt an answering tug of desire pulling through her arm, shivering through her chest, snaking through her until it pooled, hot and mysterious, between her legs. He was awakening something within her, something dark and maybe just a little bit dangerous, something that had lain dormant for years, just waiting for a single kiss from this man. Her entire life had been preparation for this very moment, and she didn't even know what to expect next. His tongue slid down the inner length of her finger, then traced the lines on her palm.
"Such lovely hands," he murmured,
nibbling on the fleshy part of her thumb as his fingers entwined with hers.
"Strong, and yet so graceful and delicate."
"You're talking nonsense," Kate said self-consciously. "My hands..."
But he silenced her with a finger to her lips.
"Shh," he admonished. "Haven't you learned that you should never, ever contradict your husband when he is admiring your form?"
Kate shivered with delight.
"For example," he continued, the very devil in his voice, "if I want to spend an hour examining the inside of your wrist..." With lightning-quick movements, his teeth grazed the delicate, thin skin on the inside of her wrist. "It is certainly my prerogative, don't you think?"
Kate had no response, and he chuckled, the sound low and warm in her ears.
"And don't think I won't," he warned,
using the pad of his finger to trace the blue veins that pulsed under her skin.
"I may decide to spend 2 hours examining your wrist."
Kate watched with fascination as his fingers, touching her so softly that she tingled from the contact, made their way to the inside of her elbow, then stopped to twirl circles on her skin.
"I can't imagine," he said softly, "that I could spend 2 hours examining your wrist and not find it lovely."
His hand made the jump to her torso, and he used his palm to lightly graze the tip of her puckered breast.
"I should be most aggrieved were you to disagree."
He leaned down and captured her lips in a brief yet searing kiss. Lifting his head just an inch, he murmured,
"It is a wife's place to agree with her husband in all things,
His words were so absurd that Kate finally managed to find her voice. "If," she said with an amused smile,
"his opinions are agreeable, my lord."
One of his brows arched imperiously.
"Are you arguing with me, my lady? And on my wedding night, no less?"
"It's my wedding night, too," she pointed out.
He made a clucking noise and shook his head.
"I may have to punish you," he said. "But how?" "By touching?"
His hand skimmed over one breast, then the next.
"Or not touching?"
He lifted his hands from her skin, but he leaned down and through pursed lips blew a soft stream of air over her nipple.
"Touching!"
Kate gasped, arching off the bed.
"Definitely touching."
"You think?"
He smiled, slowly, like a cat.
"I never thought I'd say this, but not touching has its appeal."
Kate stared up at him. He loomed over her on his hands and knees, like some primitive hunter coming in for the final kill. He looked feral, triumphant, and powerfully possessive. His thick chestnut hair fell over his forehead, giving him an oddly boyish air, but his eyes burned and gleamed with a very adult desire. He wanted her. It was thrilling. He might be a man, and thus able to find his satisfaction with any woman, but right now, in this moment, he wanted her. Kate was sure of it, and it made her feel like the most beautiful woman alive. Emboldened by the knowledge of his desire, she reached up and cupped one hand around the back of his head, drawing him down until his lips were just a whisper away from hers.
"Kiss me," she ordered,
surprised by the imperiousness of her voice.
"Kiss me now."
He smiled in vague disbelief, but his words, in that last second before their lips met, were,
"Anything you wish, Lady Bridgerton. Anything you wish."
And then it all seemed to happen at once. His lips were on hers, teasing and devouring, while his hands were lifting her up into a seated position. His fingers worked nimbly at the buttons of her gown, and she could feel the cool brush of the air on her skin as the fabric slipped down, inch by inch, exposing her ribcage, then her navel, and then his hands slid beneath her hips, and he was lifting her up, yanking the dress out from underneath her. Kate gasped at the intimacy of it. She was clad only in her unmentionables, stockings and garters. She'd never felt so exposed in her life, and yet she thrilled in every moment, every sweep of his eyes over her body.
"Lift your leg,"
Anthony ordered softly. She did, and with a slowness that was exquisite and agonizing at the same time, he rolled one of her silk stockings down to her toes. The other soon followed, and then her drawers came next, and before she knew it, she was nude, completely bared before him. His hand skimmed softly over her stomach. Then he said,
"I think I'm a little overdressed, don't you?"
Kate's eyes widened as he left the bed and stripped off the rest of his clothing. His body was perfection, his chest finely muscled, his arms and legs powerful, and his...
"Oh, my God,"
she gasped. He grinned.
"I'll take that as a compliment."
Kate swallowed convulsively. No wonder those animals on her neighbour's farm hadn't looked as if they were enjoying the act of procreation. At least not the female ones. Surely this wasn't going to work. But she didn't want to seem naive and foolish. So she didn't say anything. Just gulped and tried to smile. Anthony caught the flash of terror in her eyes and smiled gently.
"Trust me,"
he murmured, sliding onto the bed beside her. His hand settled on the curve of her hip as he nuzzled her neck.
Just trust me.
He felt her nod, and he propped himself up on one of his elbows, using his free hand to idly trace circles and swirls on her abdomen, moving lower and lower until he brushed the edge of the dark thatch of hair nestling between her legs. Her muscles quivered, and he heard a rush of indrawn breath pass over her lips.
"Shh,"
he said soothingly, leaning down to distract her with a kiss. The last time he'd lain with a virgin, he'd been one himself, and he was relying on instinct to guide him with Kate. He wanted this, her first time, to be perfect, or if not perfect, then at least damn good. While his lips and tongue explored her mouth, his hand dipped ever lower, until he reached the moist heat of her womanhood. She gasped again, but he was relentless, teasing and tickling, delighting in each of her squirms and moans.
"What are you doing?"
she whispered against his lips. He gave her a lopsided grin as one of his fingers slid inside.
"Making you feel really, really good,"
she moaned, which pleased him. If she'd managed intelligible speech, he would have known he wasn't doing his job correctly. He moved over her, nudging her legs farther apart with one of his thighs and letting out a moan of his own as his manhood settled against her hip. Even there she felt perfect, and he was nearly bursting at the thought of sinking within her. He was trying to hold his control, trying to make sure that he remained slow and gentle, but his need was getting stronger and stronger, and his own breath was growing fast and ragged. She was ready for him, or at least as ready as she was going to be. He knew that this first time would bring her pain, but he prayed it wouldn't last more than a moment. He fitted himself against her opening, using his arms to brace his body a few inches above hers. He whispered her name, and her dark eyes, hazed by passion, focused on his.
"I'm going to make you mine now," he said,
inching forward as he spoke. Her body tightened spasmodically around him. The feeling was so exquisite he had to grit his teeth against it. It would be so, so easy to lose himself in the moment, to plunge forward and seek only his own pleasure.
"Tell me if it hurts,"
he whispered hoarsely, allowing himself to move forward only by tiny increments. She was certainly aroused, but she was very small, and he knew he needed to give her time to adjust to his intimate invasion. She nodded. He froze, barely able to comprehend the stab of pain in his chest.
"It hurts."
She shook her head.
"No. I only meant I'll tell you if it does. It doesn't hurt, but it feels so very odd."
Anthony fought a smile, and he leaned down to kiss the tip of her nose.
"I don't know that I've ever been called odd while making love to a woman before."
For a moment, it looked as if she were afraid that she'd insulted him. Then her mouth quivered into a small smile.
"Perhaps," she said softly, "you've been making love to the wrong women."
"Perhaps so,"
he replied, moving forward yet another inch.
"May I tell you a secret?"
she asked. He nudged farther.
"Of course,"
he murmured.
"When I first saw you, tonight, I mean."
"In all my glory,"
he teased, lifting his brows into an arrogant arch. She shot him a rather enchanting scowl.
"I didn't think this could possibly work."
He moved forward. He was close, so close to embedding himself fully within her.
"May I tell you a secret?"
he returned.
"Of course."
"Your secret."
One more little thrust and he was resting against her maidenhead.
"Wasn't very much of a secret."
Her brows drew together in question. He grinned.
"It was written all over your face."
She scowled again, and it made him want to explode in laughter. "But now," he said, keeping a scrupulously straight face,
"I have a question for you."
She gazed at him in response, clearly waiting for him to elucidate further. He leaned down, brushed his lips against her ear, and whispered,
"What do you think now?"
For a moment she didn't respond in any way. Then he felt her start in surprise when she finally figured out what he was asking.
"Are we done?" she asked in clear disbelief.
This time he did burst out in laughter.
"Far from it, my dear wife,"
he gasped, wiping his eyes with one hand as he tried to hold himself up with the other.
"Far, far from it."
His eyes growing serious, he added,
"This is where it might hurt a little, Kate, but I promise you, the pain will never be repeated."
She nodded, but he could feel her body tense up, which he knew would only make it worse.
"Shh,"
he crooned.
"Relax."
She nodded, her eyes shut.
"I am relaxed."
He was glad she couldn't see him smile.
"You are most definitely not relaxed."
Her eyes flew open.
"Yes, I am."
"I can't believe this,"
Anthony said, as if there was someone else in the room to hear him.
"She's arguing with me on our wedding night.
I'm..."
He cut her off with a finger to her lips.
"Are you ticklish?"
"Am I ticklish?"
He nodded.
"Ticklish."
Her eyes narrowed suspiciously.
"Why?"
"That sounds like a yes to me,"
he said with a grin.
"Not at... Oh!"
She let out a squeal as one of his hands found a particularly sensitive spot under her arm.
"Anthony, stop!"
she gasped, squirming desperately beneath him.
"I can't bear it! I..."
He plunged forward. She breathed.
"Oh, my!"
He groaned, barely able to believe just how good it felt to be buried completely within her.
"Oh, my, indeed.
We're not done now, are we?"
He shook his head slowly as his body began to move in an ancient rhythm.
"Not even close," he murmured.
His mouth took hers as one of his hands snaked up to caress her breast. She was utter perfection beneath him, her hips rising to meet his, moving tentatively at first, then with a vigour that matched her rising passion.
"Oh, God, Kate,"
he moaned, his ability to form flowery sentences completely lost in the primitive heat of the moment.
"You're so good, so good."
Her breath was coming faster and faster, and each little wispy gasp inflamed his passion even more. He wanted to possess her, to own her, to hold her beneath him and never let her go. And with each thrust, it was getting more difficult to put her needs before his. His mind screamed that this was her first time, and he had to have a care for her, but his body demanded release. With a ragged groan, he forced himself to stop thrusting and catch his breath.
"Kate,"
he said, barely recognizing his own voice. It sounded hoarse, detached, desperate. Her eyes, which had been closed as her head tossed from side to side, flew open.
"Don't stop,"
she gasped.
"Please, don't stop. I'm so close to something. I don't know what."
"Oh, God,"
he groaned, plunging back into the hilt, throwing his head back as his spine arched.
"You're so beautiful, so unbelievably. Kate?"
She'd stiffened beneath him, and not in climax. He froze.
"What's wrong?"
he whispered. He saw a brief flash of pain, the emotional sort, not the physical, flash across her face before she hid it and whispered,
"Nothing."
"That's not true,"
he said in a low voice. His arms were straining from holding himself above her, but he barely noticed. Every fibre of his being was focused on her face, which was shuttered and pained, despite her obvious attempts to hide it.
"You called me beautiful,"
she whispered. For a good 10 seconds, he just stared at her. For the life of him, he couldn't understand how that was a bad thing. But then again, he'd never professed to understand the female mind. He thought he should simply reaffirm the statement that she was beautiful, and what the hell was the problem? But a little voice inside warned him that this was one of those moments, and no matter what he said, it would be the wrong thing. So he decided to tread very, very carefully, and he just murmured her name, which she had a feeling might be the only word guaranteed not to get him into trouble.
"I'm not beautiful," she whispered, her eyes meeting his. She looked shattered and broken, but before he could contradict her, she asked, "Who were you picturing?"
He blinked. "I beg your pardon."
"Who do you think of when you make love to me?"
Anthony felt as if he'd been punched in the gut. The breath whooshed from his body.
"Kate," he said slowly. "Kate, you're mad. You're..."
"I know a man doesn't have to feel desire for a woman to find pleasure with her," she cried out.
"You think I don't desire you?" he choked out.
God in heaven. He was ready to explode right now within her, and he hadn't even moved for the last 30 seconds. Her lower lip trembled between her teeth, and a muscle spasmed in her neck.
Do you think of Edwina?"
Anthony froze.
"How could I possibly confuse the two of you?"
Kate felt her face crumple, felt hot tears stinging at her eyes. She didn't want to cry in front of him.
Oh, God, especially not now. But it hurt. It hurt so much, and...
His hand grasped her cheeks with stunning speed, forcing her to look up at him.
"Listen to me," he said, his voice even and intense. "And listen well, because I'm only going to say this once. I desire you. I burn for you. I can't sleep at night for wanting you. Even when I didn't like you, I lusted for you. It's the most maddening, beguiling, damnable thing, but there it is. And if I hear one more word of nonsense from your lips, I'm going to have to tie you to the bloody bed and have my way with you 100 different ways until you finally get it through your silly skull that you are the most beautiful and desirable woman in England. And if everyone else doesn't see that, then they're all bloody fools."
Kate wouldn't have thought it possible for her mouth to fall open while she was lying down, but somehow it did. One of his brows arched into what had to be the most arrogant expression ever to grace a face.
"Is that understood?"
She just stared at him, not quite able to form a response. He leaned down until his nose was a mere inch from hers.
"Is that understood?"
She nodded.
"Good,"
he grunted, and then, before she had a moment even to catch her breath, his lips were devouring hers in a kiss so fierce she was clutching the bed just to keep from screaming. His hips ground into hers, frenzied in their power, thrusting, rotating, stroking her until she was certain she must be on fire. She clutched at him, not certain whether she was trying to bind him to her or tear him away.
"I can't do this,"
she moaned, certain she would shatter. Her muscles were stiff, tense, and it was getting hard to breathe. But if he'd hurt her, he didn't care. His face was a harsh mask of concentration, sweat beading on his brow.
"Anthony,"
she gasped.
"I can't..."
One of his hands slipped between them and touched her intimately, and she screamed. He slammed forward one last time, and her world simply fell apart. She was stiff, then shaking. Then she thought she must be falling. She couldn't breathe, couldn't even gasp. Her throat had to be closing, and her head fell back as her hands grabbed at the mattress with a ferocity she'd never have believed she possessed. He went utterly still above her, his mouth open in a silent scream, and then he collapsed, the weight of him pressing her farther into the mattress.
"Oh, my God,"
he gasped, his body now shaking.
"Never. It's never... so good. It's never been so good."
Kate, who'd had a few seconds longer to recover, smiled as she smoothed his hair. A wicked thought came to her. A perfectly wonderful, wicked thought.
"Anthony,"
she murmured. How he lifted his head she would never know, because it looked like it took a Herculean effort just to open his eyes and grunt his response. She smiled, slowly, and with a womanly seductiveness she'd learned just that evening, letting one of her fingers trail down the angular edge of his jaw. She whispered,
"Are we done yet?"
For a second he made no response. Then his lips broke into a smile far more devilish than she could ever have imagined.
"For now,"
he he murmured huskily, rolling onto his side and pulling her along with him. But only for now. Chapter 18.
Although gossip still surrounds the hasty marriage of Lord and Lady Bridgerton, formerly Miss Catherine Sheffield, for those of you who have been in hibernation for these past few weeks, this author is of the firm opinion that theirs was a love match. Viscount Bridgerton does not escort his wife to every society function, but then again, what husband does? But when he is present, this author cannot fail to note that he always seems to be murmuring something in his lady's ear, and that something always seems to make her smile and blush. Furthermore, he always dances with her one more time than is considered de rigueur. Considering how many husbands don't like to dance with their wives at all, this is romantic stuff indeed.
Lady Whistledown's Society Papers, 10th of June, 1814. The next few weeks flew by in a delirious rush. After a brief stay in the country at Aubrey Hall, the newlyweds returned to London, where the season was in full swing. Kate had hoped to use her afternoons to resume her flute lessons, but she quickly discovered that she was in great demand, and her days were filled with social calls, shopping excursions with her family, and the occasional ride in the park. Her evenings were a whirlwind of balls and parties, but her nights were for Anthony alone. Marriage, she decided, agreed with her. She saw less of Anthony than she would have liked, but she understood and accepted that he was a very busy man. His many concerns, both in Parliament and on his estates, took up a great deal of his time. But when he returned home at night and met her in the bedroom, no separate bedchambers for Lord and Lady Bridgerton, he was marvellously attentive, asking about her day, telling her of his, and making love to her until the wee hours of the night. He'd even taken the time to listen to her practice her flute. She'd managed to hire a musician to come and tutor her two mornings a week. Considering the not very expert level of play which Kate had achieved, Anthony's willingness to sit through an entire 30 minutes of rehearsal could only be interpreted as a sign of great affection. Of course, it did not escape her notice that he'd never repeated the gesture. Hers was a fine existence, a far better marriage than most women of her station could expect. If her husband did not love her, if he would never love her, then at least he did a good job of making her feel cared for and appreciated. And for now, Kate was able to content herself with that. And if he seemed distant during the day, well, he certainly wasn't distant at night. The rest of society, however, and Edwina in particular, had gotten it into their heads that Lord and Lady Bridgerton's marriage was a love match. Edwina had taken to visiting in the afternoons, and this day was no exception. She and Kate were sitting in the drawing-room, sipping tea and nibbling on biscuits, enjoying a rare moment of privacy, now that Kate had bidden farewell to her daily swarm of visitors. Everyone, it seemed, wanted to see how the new Viscountess was getting along, and Kate's drawing-room was almost never empty in the afternoon. Newton had hopped up onto the sofa beside Edwina, and she was idly stroking his fur, as she said,
"Everyone is talking about you today."
Kate didn't even pause as she lifted her tea to her lips and took a sip.
"Everyone is always talking about me," she said with a shrug. "They'll soon find another topic."
"Not," Edwina replied, "as long as your husband keeps looking at you the way he did last night."
Kate felt her cheeks grow warm.
"He did nothing out of the ordinary," she murmured.
"Kate, he was positively smouldering."
Edwina shifted her position as Newton shifted his, letting her know with a little whine that he wanted his belly rubbed.
"I personally saw him push Lord Haveridge out of the way in his haste to reach your side."
"We arrived separately," Kate explained,
although her heart was filling with a secret and most probably foolish joy.
"I'm sure he just had something he needed to tell me."
Edwina looked dubious.
"And did he?"
"Did he what?"
"Tell you something,"
Edwina said with palpable exasperation.
"You just said you were sure he just had something he needed to tell you. If that were the case, wouldn't he have told you whatever it was? And then you'd know he had something to tell you, right?
Kate blinked. Edwina, you're making me dizzy. Edwina's lips smooshed together in a disgruntled frown.
You never tell me anything.
Edwina, there's nothing to tell.
Kate reached forward, grabbed a biscuit and took a large, extremely uncouth bite, so that her mouth would be too full to speak. What was she supposed to say to her sister? That before they'd even wed, her husband had informed her in a most matter-of-fact and straightforward manner that he would never love her. That would make for charming conversation over tea and biscuits.
Well,
Edwina finally announced, after watching Kate chew for an improbable full minute,
I actually had another reason for coming here today. I have something I wish to tell you.
Kate swallowed gratefully.
Really?
Edwina nodded, then blushed.
What is it?
Kate implored, sipping at her tea. Her mouth was awfully dry after all that chewing.
I think I'm in love.
Kate nearly spit out her tea.
With whom?
Mr. Bagwell.
Try as she might, Kate could not for the life of her recall who Mr. Bagwell was.
He's a scholar,
Edwina said with a dreamy sigh.
I met him at Lady Bridgerton's country house party.
I don't recall meeting him,
Kate said, her brow knitting into thoughtful lines.
You were rather busy throughout the visit,
Edwina replied in an ironic voice.
Getting yourself betrothed and all that.
Kate pulled the sort of face one could only display with a sibling.
Just tell me about Mr. Bagwell.
Edwina's eyes grew warm and bright.
He's a second son, I'm afraid, so he cannot expect much in the way of income. But now that you've married so well, I needn't worry about that.
Kate felt an unexpected welling of tears in her eyes. She hadn't realised just how pressured Edwina must have felt earlier that season. She and Mary had been careful to assure Edwina that she might marry anyone she liked, but they had all known exactly where their finances stood, and they had certainly all been guilty of making jokes about how it was just as easy to fall in love with a wealthy man as it was with a poor one. It only took one look at Edwina's face to realise that a huge burden had been lifted from her shoulders.
I'm glad you found someone who suits you,
Kate murmured.
Oh, he does. I know that we shall not have much in the way of money, but truly, I don't need silks and jewels.
Her eyes fell on the glittering diamond on Kate's hand.
Not that I think you do, of course,
she quickly interjected, her face growing red.
Just that it's nice not to have to worry about supporting your sister and mother,
Kate finished for her in a gentle voice. Edwina let out a huge sigh.
Exactly.
Kate reached across the table and took her sister's hands in hers.
You certainly needn't worry about me, and I'm sure that Anthony and I will always be able to provide for Mary, should she ever need assistance.
Edwina's lips curved into a wobbly smile. As for you, Kate added,
I think it's high time you were able to think only of yourself for a change, to make a decision based on what you desire, not what you think others need.
Edwina pulled one of her hands free to brush back a tear.
I really like him,
she whispered.
Then I am certain I will like him as well,
Kate said firmly.
When may I meet him? He is in Oxford for the next fortnight, I'm afraid. He has prior commitments, which I should not want him to break on my account.
Of course not, Kate murmured.
You wouldn't want to marry the sort of gentleman who does not honour his commitments.
Edwina nodded in agreement.
I received a letter from him this morning, though, and he says he will come down to London at the end of the month, and hopes that he might call on me.
Kate smiled wickedly.
He's already sending you letters.
Edwina nodded and blushed.
Several per week,
she admitted.
And what is his area of study? Archaeology. He's quite brilliant. He has been to Greece twice.
Kate hadn't thought that her sister, already renowned throughout the land for her beauty, could possibly grow any lovelier. But when Edwina spoke of her Mr. Bagwell, her face shone with a radiance that was nothing short of heart-stopping.
I cannot wait to meet him,
Kate announced.
We must have an informal dinner party with him as our guest of honour.
That would be wonderful.
And perhaps the three of us might go for a ride in the park ahead of time, so that we might become better acquainted. Now that I am an old married lady, I qualify as a suitable chaperone.
Kate let out a little laugh.
Isn't that funny?
A very amused, very male voice sounded from the doorway. Isn't what funny?
Anthony!
Kate exclaimed, surprised to see her husband in the middle of the day. He always seemed to have appointments and meetings that kept him from their home.
How delightful to see you!
He smiled slightly as he nodded toward Edwina in greeting.
I found myself with an unexpected block of free time.
Would you care to join us for tea?
I'll join you,
he murmured as he crossed the room and picked up a crystal decanter that sat on a mahogany side table.
But I believe I'll have a brandy instead.
Kate watched as he poured himself a drink, then swirled it absently in his hand. It was at times like these that she found it so difficult to keep her heart out of her eyes. He was so handsome in the late afternoon. She wasn't sure why. Maybe it was the faint hint of stubble on his cheeks, or the fact that his hair was always slightly mussed from whatever it was he did all day. Or maybe it was simply that she didn't often get to see him this time of day. She'd once read a poem that said the unexpected moment was always sweeter. As Kate gazed upon her husband, she rather thought that poet might be right.
So, Anthony said, after taking a sip of his drink, what have you two ladies been discussing?
Kate looked to her sister for permission to share her news, and when Edwina nodded, she said,
Edwina has met a gentleman she fancies.
Really?
Anthony asked, sounding interested in a strangely paternal sort of manner.